Oh, we're live! Jimmy D and the Wolf podcast.
That came as quickly, didn't it?
Yeah. That's not a very good bell. Let me do that bell again. There we go.
There it is. How you doing, man?
I'm living the dream. Look at my studio. How does it look?
It's the cleanest I've ever seen it.
I spent 2 hours cleaning it up.
It doesn't even look like a musician's been in it.
I'm trying. My goal is to keep it. I want to stay organized in 2021. That's everybody has goals, right? So
good goal.
You know, I think if you're organized, you can find everything where you need. You don't spend time looking for stuff.
Did you put all cars in cases or something?
No, they're on the walls.
Are they? Okay, good.
Yeah. The biggest thing that I did was I did that a week or so ago. I've got a cabinet. Let's see if you can see it. You know, there is a green monster. It used to be an entertainment center. And I put shelves in there. And then I have organizing boxes that those crates you can get, like at Lowe's, wooden crates. And they fit right in there. I built the shelves perfectly. So I got 9 organizing crates that I can pull out and put stuff in there.
Sweet. I'm
pleased with my system that I have. So,
good, man.
All right. Well, tonight's topic that I asked Jimmy if it's okay we talked about. It's an article. And by the way, I'm glad to have you back, buddy. I missed you last week.
Thank you, man. Good to be back.
Good. We had Fedge on. Fedge was great. It was a good conversation. Yeah. But tonight, this is just such an odd topic or interesting topic. The New York Times talks about, you know, COVID has changed a lot of things. And well, let me put a little background. You know that the U.S. and most developed countries have a major, major issue with fertility rate.
Sure.
Couples, women, whoever the deciding factor is, women just aren't having kids.
They don't know if it's the food or.
Well, a lot of them I don't think want to.
Yeah.
Whether they're trying or not trying, I don't know. I've never been in a couple that's trying to have kids, so I don't know all that. I know people spend a lot of money sometimes to try to have kids, so maybe that's part of it. Can't get fertile, but. The worst country, I looked this up recently, the worst country is South Korea. South Korea has a fertility rate of 1.1 per adult female. And you need to be at about 2.1 to maintain. South Korea is going to disappear as a country. I mean, because they have long longevity. What's that? Go ahead.
We need them, too.
We do.
You know, democracy.
Second worst, I think, was Italy, right behind them. Which I love Italy. It breaks my heart because, you know, there's, you know, it's going to be a version of that movie with that movie where the youngest person in the world was 17 years old. And Liam Neeson in it, I think.
Yeah.
Or no, another British actor.
Same effect in South Korea. Like, can you buy land really cheap there like you can in Italy?
Good question, buddy. Good question. I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah, because that's what's happened in Italy. You know, all the small towns, people, none of the young people that are existing don't want to live in small towns. So their small towns are dying. So we talked about that before in one previous podcast. You can buy a property for supposedly a dollar, what condition it's in these small towns, because they're trying to get people to move there. But so we've got I think ours is 1.7 now, but we are shoring it up, or we were before this current administration with immigration, because immigrants help that, and also immigrants tend to have more kids. But immigration to the U.S. has gone down drastically in the last 4 years.
Which is bad for the economy.
Yeah, in some regard. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get political about that tonight because that's probably very divisive. I'm talking about legal immigration. I'm not even going into illegal. But the bottom line is our population has a risk of declining. But something's, you know, COVID has changed a lot of things. You know, streaming, we're musicians and we both have music on Spotify. For the first 2 months of, I did a podcast or I did a video on this, the first 2 months of the year, streaming was down substantially. People didn't listen to music. But then people apparently realized, hey, I'm going to listen to music to cheer me up or whatever it is. And streaming had a record rise in 2020, year on year, 17%, which is the most it's ever grown in the U.S. And outside the U.S., it grew 22%. So streaming, so COVID has been a boom for some things, has been a crash for other things. Yeah. Obviously been a boom for Amazon and Elon Musk, who's now the richest man in the world. So COVID has changed a lot of things, and apparently it's turned around the birth rate, at least in some small segment. So there is a thing called sperm banks, which I was, you know, every time I've heard the term sperm bank, it was probably a comedian using it for a punchline for a joke or something, you know. But it's a real thing, and it's a thriving business. It's a $4 billion business in the U.S. $4 billion. That's a lot of business. And typically what it is, a donor will get about $4,000, and from that deposit, they will get maybe 50 biological children from that.
Wow.
I don't know how they parse it out, but
that's some Genghis Khan shit.
I don't know how many how many groupings have to be in each one of those deals, but so, you know, the guys get paid, and they say the college men are one of the most reliable groups to see the potential for that, because it's got potential chaos to it, because you're a father of a kid, and they get $4,000, and all they have to do, you know, is ejaculate into a cup or whatever, and they get $4,000. So the demand is up 30% during COVID for sperm at the sperm banks, and they can't keep up. There's not enough donation, and colleges aren't meeting, so they can't advertise. They used to go to the fraternities, and they're having difficulty getting enough people to donate. They're running out of supply. And the who are the customers for the sperm? Would you have a guess, Jimmy? How that would be broken out? What kind of a woman or couple would be interested in that? Just take a stab, and I'll tell you how it's broken down.
Early 30s.
Well, I guess they don't break it down by that, but I'm talking about, okay, it's hard for you to answer because 20% of the customers are single moms or single wannabe moms, single women that want to be moms or maybe already have a kid. 60% are lesbian couples. So that's the majority.
Makes sense.
And 20% are married couples that just can't conceive. So 60% are lesbian couples. So and it costs them about, for a vial, it costs them $1,100. And that's one vial is good for one. Price of sperm remains the same. It's high. Each vial from a premium bank can cost up to $1,100. And the bank guarantees a vial will have 10 million to 15 million total motile sperm. I guess live. That must mean live. I mean, that must be a chemical, or that must be a medical term. Each month during ovulation, the prospective mother or a doctor unthaws a vial and injects the sperm. And they recommend you buy 4 or 5 vials because you probably won't get pregnant the first time. So make sure that, you know, if you pick somebody, because they go by their characteristics, the guys that are in demand are college educated guys. They want, you know, genetics. Smart. Who wouldn't want? You want good genetics for your kid, right?
Yeah,
you
know, smart people, for sure. Smart.
Yeah. So good looking, and especially, so if you want to have, a lot of them want to have two kids and they want to have it from the same father. So they figure if you're going to do that, you better have 10 grand. I know, though, that people trying to get pregnant, couples trying to get pregnant will spend, I've heard of stories, $20,000, $30,000 just trying to get pregnant and then failing. You know, so going the sperm bank way maybe is could be cheaper. So there is an end run about that. And there are guys who are on Facebook groups. Facebook has groups for everything, right?
Yes, sir.
There are Facebook groups. Let me read this. This makes me chuckle. I know it's serious, but the subject matter, it just is that wrong to chuckle at this, Jimmy? So people are fed up with sperm banks, says Kyle Gordy. He gives his name, 29, who lives in Malibu, California. He invests in real estate, but spends most of his time donating his sperm free, except for the cost of travel to women. He also runs an 11,000 member Facebook group, which helps women connect with a roster of hundreds of approved donors. His donor sperm has sired 35 children, with five more on the way. They realize this isn't taboo anymore. I mean, this guy, he puts his name out. He's not embarrassed.
Good thing.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing about it is now they have the technology is there. Like you can buy do-it-yourself stuff like transporting the sperm. You can buy the kits to keep it cold and the liquid nitrogen. They have inexpensive kits now for that. DNA test, because you want to make sure it doesn't have mutant. The standard procedure is you do a DNA test, make sure you don't have mutant genes. And then you sign a document in presence of a notary. And I don't know what all that document has. And then you deliver your sperm. And they usually do it at an Airbnb so that they don't know where the other person lives. They get an Airbnb. And so that's how it's done. But now these guys are doing it for free, and they give their name. Now, if you do it through a sperm bank, it's anonymous. You may know the characteristics of the person, but it's anonymous. And you may never know the name of the person, depending on the sperm bank. Some of them, when the kid's 18 years old, will tell you the age. But if you're doing it with the private way on the Facebook group, you know the guy's name right away. And now there have been problems where there's a guy, they call him the sperm king, because his sperm has impregnated so many kids. And he's had some attendant issues. He has been sued for paternity lawsuit, you know, I guess support, child support. I'm not sure what all that is, but. And then you got the this isn't funny. But then you got the minority of them that say most donors specify whether they will only donate through artificial insemination. Some will also donate through natural insemination or sex. I'm sorry, I should laugh.
Travel?
What's that?
And they'll pay for your travel costs.
So, you know, some of these guys, I mean, what would go through your mind to want to have 35, 40 kids that you'd fathered? I mean.
No idea, man. That's beyond me. I couldn't do it without knowing I was going to raise them. Personally.
Yeah. Yeah, it's foreign to me. I don't understand. There's a picture of a guy here with the lesbian couple and the little girl. She looks like she's 2 or 3 years old, and he's standing there. This is my kid. The one guy said that his dream is when he's older and to have all his kids that he fathered come to dinner and all sit around a huge table that would house 35 or whatever, how many he's going to have, and he wants to hear about their lives. You know,
he's not accountable for them up until that point, right?
I guess not. I must be in the agreement that you signed.
That's crazy, man. So disclaimers, right? Things are signed that they're not accountable.
I guess you'd want to make sure you had a good lawyer who drew that up. If that was your, if you're just donating your sperm and you don't want to have to be responsible for the kid. But what if you find out the kid gets in trouble and the mother, maybe it's a single mom and she's on hard times.
It needs a kidney.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems entanglements. Yeah. I don't know that I'd ever, I mean, I didn't read this article and say, hey, I'm going to go to the sperm bank.
Sure.
Opposite. I'm like, it kind of gives me a little bit of a.
Yeah. I mean, knowing you got kids out there that you don't have anything to do with, that's a nightmare for me.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to do that. I don't have any kids, but I would want to be involved in their lives. So anyway, to me, it's a whimsical. I know it's a very serious business, a $4 billion business, so it's a very serious business. And people that want to have kids, I mean, God bless them. They want to have kids, and they want to have kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
They want to, they, you know, so this is the only way for some of them, apparently. So, you know, I can understand that. I don't judge them for that.
Like I said, there's regions of the world that really need it.
Yeah.
China? Isn't the fertility rate in China going way down?
Well, for the longest time, China had the one-child policy, and so most parents wanted a boy. If it was a girl, they'd abort it in the womb, or supposedly in the rural areas, abort it if it was a girl, or give it up for adoption, or send it away, or something. So there's a major problem now for young men in their 20s to 40s. There's an imbalance. There's like 50% more men than there are girls for them to marry. Or to pair up with. So, but about their fertility rate, they did get away from that one child policy, but they will definitely have a major issue. They will. And I remember reading articles saying they're going to age before they get rich. So yeah. They're going to be.
Their economy is supposed to surpass ours. And it could be over before it happened because of the fertility thing.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. That is some viable thoughts. Viable theories that people are saying. So, you know, demographics, there's a saying that goes, demographics is destiny.
That's absolutely right.
You know, because if you look, and then if you look at the, countries that I looked at it just the other day, because I was just curious, what countries have the highest fertility rate? And there's a whole slew of them in Africa, in the continent of Africa. And the highest one has six, average of six per adult female.
Wow.
You want to blow up the population of your country? Have every adult female, on average, have six kids.
That's heavy.
In a generation, you're going to explode. Your country's going to look different.
And that's high too, right?
Sorry?
Malaysia?
Malaysia high as well. Well, Indonesia, I believe, is the highest, and that's a Muslim. But Malaysia also could be. I mean, it'll change the world. I mean, the Western European descent developed countries, every one of them, you know, Germany, France, Italy's the worst one, the UK, they're all below two. France had an incentive where they were paying people to have kids. And so they've raised theirs. They've brought it back up from, it was 1.4 or something, back up to 1.7, 1.8. But I'm looking it up now. So birth rate by nation. Yeah, most of them are African, but and also a lot of the Muslim countries. Well, are a lot of the countries in Africa Muslim, I suppose?
Yeah, I think so.
So Niger in Africa, 6.9, dude, almost 7. Somalia, 6.1. Congo, 5.9. Mali, 5.9. And then... you know, you go down to Chad and Angola, Nigeria, the Gambia. These are all African countries: Burkina Faso, Uganda, Tanzania, Mozambique, Benin, Central African Republic, Guinea, South Sudan. These are all African. Zambia, Senegal, Cameroon. Right. These are, yeah, all, they're down to 24 now. Now we go to Afghanistan, okay, Muslim. They're at 4.5. Back to Republic of Congo, 4.4. Sudan, Solomon Islands. Solomon Islands.
Why is it exploding in Africa so much?
I don't know. Liberia, African, Sierra Leone, Ethiopia, Malawi, Madagascar. Well, that'd be I think that's in the south. Rwanda, that's Africa. Samoa, well, that Samoa is in the Pacific, right? Ghana, Yemen would be a Muslim country. Iraq, Muslim, 3.7. Palestinian territories, 3.6. Zimbabwe, back to Africa, 3.6. Tonga, again, Africa. Pakistan, another Muslim country. Kenya, Africa. So it's Muslim countries and African and Muslim countries coming in second. Egypt, 3.3. Morocco, 3.1. Haiti, 2.9. Mongolia, that 2.9. I've been to Mongolia twice. I'm surprised. I didn't know their fertility was up. Syria, 2.8. Fiji, Jordan. Panama, Honduras. So some Latin American countries. Panama, Honduras, Paraguay, Ecuador. Israel's at 2.4. And the world is at 2.4. So that's the mark. If you're above 2.4, you're above the world average. If you're below 2.4, so that's why the world population is growing, because the average in the world is 2.4. So Argentina, 2.3. So the United States Virgin Islands is at 2.1. Population replacement, 2.1. Below population, there's 111 countries below the population replacement. 111.
Is Ireland below?
Yeah, I think it's way down here. Let me see if I can find it. United States is 1.7. Actually, not too far down the list. So 111 is the medium. Whoops, I'm sorry. My bad. There's 110 above the replacement. I went the wrong way. So how many are there total countries listed? So there are 200 countries listed. It's an even number. So 180 are below the average. And the U.S. is at 1. We're actually not too far down the list. We're at 145. So, you know, we're not that far away. We're probably, our population is not decreasing because of immigration.
We had a lot of people to start with, so.
China's at 1.7. Surprise. China's right where we are, 1.7. United Kingdom is 1.7. Netherlands, 1.6. Germany, 1.6. Russia, 1.6. Norway, 1.6. I mean, you know, 100 years and you'll see a big change. Canada is 1.5 below us. Then you get into Serbia, Austria, Croatia, Poland, Belarus, Portugal. Japan's 1.4. It's really starting to get some significant change, 1.4 already. Greece, 1.4. Italy, 1.3. Spain, 1.3. Here are the lowest birth rates. South Korea is the lowest, number 200, at 1.0. Puerto Rico is 1.0. Hong Kong is 1.1. Singapore is 1.1. I didn't know that. Macau, 1.2. Malta, 1.2. Spain, 1.3. Moldavia, 1.3. Bosnia and Herzegovina, 1.3. And Italy at 1.3. So, I mean, demographics is destiny.
Yeah. So if you get low down to one, eventually you're halving your population in one generation.
Yeah. Well,
interesting stuff.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's really important. I mean, well, you've got people who think opposite to that and think that we have too many people in the world and we need to decrease the population. You know, there's a movement to that, but we have pollution and we have, you know, erosion and all the negative things that people are saying, that we have too many people on the world. We need to reduce our footprint as it is. So they would not be applauding these countries that are above 2.1, you know, those types of folks. So, and there are some concerns there. There's no doubt about it. But from an economic standpoint, you have a shrinking population it's going to be really hard to have a robust economy. Just is. Especially when you have an aging population. Especially when you have Japan, which is only at, I think it was 1.3. And you have 1.4 is Japan. You have a longest life expectancy in the world. So nobody's dying off and nobody's getting born. So the average age is skyrocketing. So.
And that's the predictor of what things are going to look like in another 50 years.
Yeah. Probably
the single biggest determining factor, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can't, how do you fight against that? That's like trying to fight against a river, you know, or, you know, avalanche or something. How do you fight against that? How do you, you know, if you have two, I think Japan, when I was living there, they said they have two people retired for every working person.
That doesn't work. Yeah. That's impossible for an economy to withstand that. And they still have a massive manufacturing, right?
Well, they use offshore manufacturing. I mean, Japan is still the third largest economy in the world. Japan is not a third world economy. Japan is not suffering. They're still a highly evolved economy. It's just the trends. You know, it's just the trends. So, and the thing that Japan wrestles with, unfortunately, well, they are an insular society, and they believe that race is a really big, important part of their identity. Japan is not just a nation, it's a race, is what they believe. And so they're very reluctant to allow immigration of non-Japanese ethnicity. That's part of their culture. That's who they are. America, I mean, we were supposedly the melting pot. Now, there is pushback now of Caucasian are going to be a minority in this country, in the U.S., because the minorities are growing faster than white people. Caucasian people will be a minority in the U.S. And so there are people that don't like that. But, you know, we were a welcoming, you know, used to be, give me your tire, give me your poor, you know, welcome, come in, immigrants. So we don't have an ethnic identity like Japan does. So.
It's what makes us the best, man.
Well, I'd hope so. I mean, I love my country. I think we're the best country. So anyway, that's the sperm bank kings, you know.
It's crazy stuff, man. College guys.
Not all of them. This one guy, he's got the reputation for being the sperm king. Super donor, Ari Nagel. He's calling the super donor. He's been going direct to the consumer for over a decade.
Big money, man. That guy's probably gotten rich off of it.
No, he does it for free.
Something.
No. I mean, well, what? Here's the thing. I mean, if you've got so many kids that are yours and okay, if the sperm bank does announce who you are, and then maybe if you're doing it privately and people know who you are, but let's say you're impregnating hundreds of kids and they don't know who their dad is, and your daughter and your son meet and fall in love. I mean,
or you have a change of, people change, man. People change all the time. Or you have a change of heart and you blink and you wake up one day and you're 55, 60, 65 years old. And you go, really wish I knew my kids. You know, and you've got hundreds of them. So compound that feeling by, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just such a weird thing to me.
Me too. It's just weird. That's why I wanted to bring it on as a topic, because it's a little whimsical.
Well, I think we're hardwired, you know, as human beings, we're hardwired to kind of protect our own. You have a little one, it's part of nature, survival. I mean, that's in our amygdala, to protect your kids, protect at all costs. So I'm glad it's happening, because a lot of those people deserve children, you know.
Sure, sure. I don't begrudge them.
They shouldn't be deprived of, sure, of that, you know, that life experience and the joy of parenting. But there's a really unnatural element toward the biological parent. I think it's more unnatural for them than it is for the people that end up having the kid.
Right. That would be my take. I mean, that would be my thought, you know. For the lesbian couples, you know, they're already, I mean, I think they would say they're not the mainstream, normal, prototypical, you know, I don't want to offend anyone with what I'm saying, but they're not the prototypical American traditional couple. So they're already used to being outside the norm, is what I'm trying to say. You know, so they're used to dealing with, you know, strange looks or comments perhaps.
Yeah.
And so for them, it's something that they're probably already equipped to handle, perhaps.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. And you know, I think that's across the board. I've always gravitated towards any person that's dealt with adversity. Just always seems to me like they're just easier to get along with. You know what I mean? In a strange way, because of that adversity has made them stronger, whatever group it is, you know. Isn't there some kind of crazy statistic about Genghis Khan, of how many people in the world actually have DNA from Genghis Khan?
Hmm.
It's a staggering, I don't remember the number, but it's a staggering statistic.
Well, there wasn't artificial insemination back then.
Right, right, exactly. No, my physicist friend was talking about it, and he said that it seems impossible that it would have had to have been like 100 women a week or something crazy like that.
Well, there, you know, there are cultures. There was that TV show, or microcultures. There was that TV show of a reality show following around. I watched about one episode of it out in Utah, of polygamists, you know, and the guy had three wives, you know, and he's keeping them all pregnant, you know. So there is, you know, microcultures where the man wants to procreate his, you know, sperm, I guess, if you will. You know.
Utah, man, is a fascinating place to me. It just, to me, and maybe it's just me, but it looks like a different planet when you fly over it, when you drive through it.
Yes, sir.
Utah, it's just like, what? You know, you get to California and it's like, it's a little bit greener than, say, the Midwest or Kentucky, but it's still, you know, you have the mountains and everything. But there's a different tint to the entire state of Utah that's like, to me, it feels like a different world.
Yeah. I remember I drove out there. I drove to California to go to the Westlake studio for a month, and I drove through Utah. And it was, I remember my jaw was like wide open most of the way through the state. I'm like,
it's beautiful, right?
But gorgeous.
It doesn't look like anything else I've ever seen. It's,
yes, wild. Agreed.
We should go.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do it. Let's drive. Let's do it.
Exactly. This COVID thing will be over before you know it, man. The vaccine's rolling out. This thing will be over.
Hey, I want to travel. You know, I was going to travel to Europe last year because I missed 2019. I want to travel, world travel every year, and I missed 2019, just didn't do it. And I had my trip all scheduled out. And, of course, or 2020, I was going to do it. And COVID hit. Yeah. But I was reading an article about a guy, And is it one of the, is it Bosnia? Maybe it's Bosnia or one of those countries do not have there are some countries, I said, I can't go to Europe because they're not allowing Americans to go. But there are some countries that don't have. And the country and the city, wherever they filmed all the Game of Thrones. And now's the time to go because they're saying that during the tourist season, when everything's gone, it's horrible. It's just a tourist trap.
It's
you can go there. You can just get on a plane and go there. They don't reject Americans from going there.
Well, it was like the Twilight Zone. My trip last week was like the Twilight Zone. In fact, I was talking to you on the phone, remember? And I said, well, I'll call you back when I get through security. And I called you back like 100 seconds later. There was nobody in line. You know, nobody's flying. It was the weirdest thing, man. The weirdest thing. So now is it a bad time to travel? It's kind of a great time to travel right now.
Yeah. Maybe guys should just do a trip to Europe. I love to travel internationally.
I'm sure the airlines could use the help.
Yeah.
You know, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, I predict that there'll be a little bit of a renaissance when things open back up.
Well, there's a couple of schools of thought. Like I was reading an article about the movie business, and someone was saying this is the end of the movie.
That's another thing. You know, we're both huge movie buffs.
Yes.
They didn't make any movies all last year. What are we going to watch? You know what I'm saying? 2021, there's no new movies. Next year, there's not going to be any new movies. It takes a couple years to make a movie.
Yeah.
So there's going to be all this lag time in film of, like, nothing happened. Something else. But hopefully that creates, that need, plus the angst element of it creates an artistic explosion. And I predict it will. Because a lot of people, you know, especially artists, a lot of artists have been at home honing their chops and writing lots of songs. The studios have been shut down on every level, if it's film or music or whatever.
I mean, Taylor Swift dropped 2 killer albums.
Yeah.
There's 2 of them. I mean, full blown, fully written, everything. I mean.
Well, a lot of the independent studios are still rolling, you know. But I think it's going to be an explosion.
Well, what I was leading up to, the article that I was reading, they were talking about has the movie industry is going to collapse. Because think of all these people. Think if you owned a chain of movie theaters.
Yeah, well,
you'd probably be bankrupt unless you're independently wealthy.
And now in the age of streaming.
Oh, I see a comment here from Jamie. How hey, you doing?
What's up, brother? Yeah, I wonder what they're going to, I mean, what are they going to do? Roll out old Star Wars movies?
But anyway, the article was talking about somewhere all, you know, this is the end. We're all going to, it's all going to die. But there was one guy, and I think I told you this story because I sent you, I snapshotted it and I said it might apply to music. This guy said, no, the pent-up demand is there. And he said, there's a reason that the Roaring Twenties happened after the 1918 pandemic. There's a pent up demand, and he said it's going to be explosion like you've never seen. He said it's going to be great. Yeah, there's an optimist. I love that guy. I'm drawn to that guy.
Well, the Renaissance happened after the plague. You know, I mean, it's the human spirit, man. The human spirit thrives the most under adverse conditions. That story's as old as the hills. Even entire cultures have done that. I mean, look at what happened in the South and the explosion of, you know, most American music we owe to the blues. And that's across the board. It's the same thing with the Celtic stuff in Ireland, you know, the Irish. It was adverse conditions that created the climate for the human spirit to thrive in. And to create all of that great art. And now you have an entire planet that's been experiencing that. I'm excited about it. You know, I think
it's me too.
Nice little reset for many people.
You just mentioned Ireland. I am curious about our Ireland fertility rate. Here we go. Ooh, 1.75. Better than the U.S.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Still below maintenance. Need to step that up a bit, but
as long as we don't disappear. That's my concern.
Hey, Eddie Money was Irish. Right? Mahoney? His name was Mahoney. That's as Irish as that's an Irish name.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Any of the O's? The O sound usually indicates Irish descent somehow or another.
Yeah, I like to go to the Hot Pot, you know, that restaurant nearby.
Oh man, incredible.
They were playing classic rock, you know. And it just, you know, I'm always listening to music. If music's playing, I'm always listening to what it is. And it just, it makes me think about that artist, you know, and look up their Wikipedia entry and read about them and stuff like that. And Eddie Money, you know, Mahoney, that's why his family were cops and he wanted to be a cop. But they told me he had to cut his hair and he didn't want to do that. So he quit and went back into music full time. Yeah. He was only in training. He never became a cop. So,
I like the Thai restaurant there with the is it Thai? Yeah, it's Thai restaurant with the little bitty girl. And there's always jazz music playing, and the little bitty girl works there, and she can't stand jazz.
I haven't been there since the pandemic. I hope they're still open.
I'll be down soon, man. We'll go.
Yeah, let's go.
Because they always play like this great jazz and she hates it. Can't stand it. Jazz isn't for everybody, man. You know? I get it.
Yeah.
They love it or they hate it. I'll always remember that, dude, going in there and her just being like,
I hope they survived. I've been there in a while. I need to.
Well, it was funny to me because when I went in, even before I had the food, I was like, this place is banging, man. You know, they were playing like Charlie Parker and all this great stuff. And she made the comment about she hated it.
Well, because I had asked her about it, you know, because I asked about who chose. I wanted to know if she was the one who chose the jazz on the thing. And she goes, she makes a face. And so it became a topic of conversation every time I would go there. You know, yeah. And I would
stay on her, man. Maybe she'll convert one day.
She's funny. I remember the first time that I met her and I asked her a question. I was with my nephew and she literally was standing there ready to take the order. And I asked her a question and she gets a scared look in her eyes and she literally backs up. It was just hilarious the way she did it. Like she was.
Well, she's about 71 pounds.
Probably, yeah.
It's a little bitty.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man.
Absolutely. Well, 40 minutes. We've done our minimum time, I guess.
Good to be back, man. Good to see you.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Absolutely. All right. So we've been pretty consistent, and we're going to continue to try to be consistent.
Absolutely.
Every Tuesday. And hope to see you guys next week.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
You bet. See you next time.